pick up where we left off last week. This will be Strengthening Faith, Part 5. If you turn with me to Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13, I want to reread that. Hebrews 11, 8 through 13, our foundational scripture for this series. Beginning to read. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashores. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We pray that you would watch over it today and perform it as I continue this message, Lord God. Pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Our first major point in this series was that we must hear from God. We've got to learn to hear from God. And then second, we learned that the second major point was we must obey what we know. And now that brings us to the third major point, that we must establish priorities. We must learn to establish priorities by faith in the promises of God, faith in Him for whatever it has been that He has spoken to us. And if we're going to start off this series on the point of the fact that we need to hear from God, then we should expect that as we hear from Him, then we should be able to prioritize our lives according to His leading. The true blessing of God in this faith walk is finding and obeying His will for our lives, prioritizing our lives so that our lives are ordered by God. All right? So in our text, in verses 9 and 10, it says, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac, Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. In Matthew 6, and verse 10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we are hearing from God, submitted to God, then we understand and we echo this prayer, your kingdom come. Yes. See, where we get in trouble is when we get misled by self and by the enemy into believing that we have the wisdom to order the steps in our lives. That is not a faith walk. For me, at this point in my life, at this point in my walk with Christ, for me to think that I have the wisdom to order my steps is absolutely absurd. It's why, if you've been around here for a while, I never preach without asking God to take me over, to order the words that come out of my mouth, submit it to Him. Because I can't and don't want to do it in my own strength, because the words fall powerless. But when God's anointing is on it, because our faith is in Him, because my faith is in Him, then I know that God watches over His words to perform it. They are empowered, and they do not fall to the earth powerless. I don't want to get up here and stand up here and speak empty words. My goal is for it to be words that are filled with God's Spirit, because it's His Word, and that we all grow up in God together. So, we should echo in prayer, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We get ourselves in trouble when we get it confused and start building our own kingdom. You can tell when somebody is building their own kingdom because everything is about them. Everything's about them. When a person is building their own kingdom, when a ministry is building its own kingdom instead of the kingdom of God, then that ministry will set out to steal people from other churches, from other ministries. That is their goal. Why? That's not kingdom growth. So then why would you do that? Because you're building your own kingdom. Do you get it? Do you see it? And that is not a faith walk. That's a walk where a person just wants to be somebody. Well, I'd rather be a nobody and bring Christ to you, because He's everybody. He's everything. Amen? So, our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our citizenship. We are here temporarily. Now, we are supposed to walk in this faith walk while we are here on this earth and live life the best that we can, which is allowing God to order our steps, to order our lives. But we need to always remember that we are passing through. I have done, in the last 24 years, an astronomical amount of funerals. I really have. And I'm telling you, every single gravesite where we are burying the ashes or burying the body, when those graves open, they're facing to the east. Every one. I always stand at the head when I'm doing a gravesite. When we're burying a body, for example. Kind of hard to tell where the head is if it's just ashes. All right? Well, then, I'm just saying. But when there is a casket, I always stand at the head when I'm addressing the people and ministering to them in that final resting place. And every one of those graves, they're buried with the head pointing to the west, so that when the person comes up out of the grave, they're facing east when those graves open. That's it. It's still that way. As screwed up as our world is, bodies are still buried that way. I don't believe that's an accident. I think God's seeing to it. Amen? That's going to be something to see. So, Philippians 3, verse 20 says, if you're taking notes, Philippians 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming. When the rapture happens, it makes it abundantly clear in Scripture that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive that are in Christ will rise to meet him in the air. It's made abundantly clear in Scripture. It is crystal clear in Scripture. Okay? I was at a pastor's conference several years ago. Actually, it was at Moody. I was at a pastor's conference. I learned how to be a Moody pastor. Anyway, I was having lunch with a guy. Well, I mean, with a bunch of guys. The table was pretty crowded, but there was one right across from me, and we were talking about this, about the reality of the graves opening, and we were just rejoicing in that, you know. And the one pastor said, well, I'll tell you one thing. The people in my church will be the first ones up. We all kind of were stunned and looked at him and said, That's a little prideful. He said, no, you don't understand. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. That's a pretty lousy testimony of the church. I wouldn't say that to anybody because this church, you people are alive in Christ. Whew, that was rugged. So, our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible warns about friendship with the world. James 4 and verse 4. If you're taking notes, James 4 and verse 4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Wow. Any questions about why, when I am preaching about different things, I address the things of this world? I address sin. And I address things in this world, including what's happening in our nation politically. There's a reason I do that. Because I'm telling you, I've said this before, you can't vote along worldly lines and expect to get to heaven. Because the things are so screwed up right now that if you're going to vote for all of the godless things that one particular party is all about, including gay marriage, homosexuality, sexual sin of every kind, child abuse. Yes? Child abuse. Because children are being harmed every day. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you need to do your homework. I have to be tactful here because we have children in this place. But there's bad things happening in the world, including in this nation. Friendship with the world is hatred toward God. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, there's people that think that I just want to be political in messages. Well, I don't. But you can't address the sin of the day without it looking like you're getting political. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as an oracle of God, as a pastor, called to preach his word and called to call people to repentance, called to take people and teach them how to live in this faith walk, I'm going to be accountable before God one day. What I did with the platform he gave me, that rocks my world. Because I have a healthy, reverential fear of my God. Do you? Do you? So, friendship with the world. When it's talking about friendship with the world, it's talking about the world system. Are you with me? Am I making it clear? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We must not act like the world. We, as born again believers, must not act like the world. Not doing what the world does. Not having the same attitude as the people of the world. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Beginning to read in verse 15. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, and here we go into a list, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, I want you to think about those verses. I mean, really get it down inside you. What we're seeing here. What God has shown us. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Faith walk. Living for God. Faith walk. You want to do the will of God? I've been explaining it. This is the fifth week. I've been explaining it. You want to do the will of God? Walk by faith, not by sight. We sung it. But are we ready to live it? God's called us to live by faith, not by sight. Not faith in what some other man can do for us, but faith in God. See, God can be God all by himself, but he chooses to work through people. He chooses to do that. He works through people. But don't get your eyes so on the person or the people that you get your eyes off God. Because it is God that works in them. It is God that works in you. Amen? So, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. This world system is very, very messed up. If I didn't know Christ, really know him, I'd be pretty rattled with how messed up our world is right now. Now, I don't like it. And many times, I've told my wife, I feel like Lot. not because I'm such a righteous man, but because the world is getting more and more evil and resembling what Lot was dealing with when he lived next to Sodom and Gomorrah. Ruth Graham, when she was still alive, and she's been gone for quite a while, this old world's gotten a lot crazier since she's been gone. But while she was still alive, she made the statement that if God did not judge the United States of America, that he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Ruth Graham made that statement. What would she say now? This is the world that we are living in. It's what God has chosen to allow for now. It is a fulfillment of a whole bunch of prophecy that points to the fact that we are in the end times. Now, you and me, we don't know how long that will go. We don't know how bad it will get before we get into the tribulation. We don't know. Pre-trib can get pretty ugly. In my mind, it's getting pretty ugly already. There have never been more people martyred in the world for their faith in Jesus Christ than there are right now. We just have been sheltered, for the most part, in this nation. But my friends, it's coming. So we need to strengthen our faith, shore up our faith, live what we profess. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, there are a whole lot of unrighteous cravings in people right now. I mean, people have always had that tendency, obviously. But we are seeing an increase of that. And you know what? We're not really given the freedom to judge the world. But we are called to examine the fruit of those who profess to be believers. Am I making sense to you? Those who profess to be believers, those who are in the church. And here's the problem. What happens out there, it's sad and it's sick. But that's not in the body of Christ. What's even sicker is that the church in this nation as a whole has embraced what's happening in the world and allowed it to come in. It's why you see gay pride flags hanging on churches. It makes my stomach churn because they don't understand they're going to cast themselves into an eternity in hell. Because friendship with the world is what? Enemies of God. And the love is not, it's not in them. The love of the Father is not in them, but the love of this world. So the cravings of sinful men, the lust of the eyes. The sick things that are happening because of the lust of the eyes, along with those cravings. And the boasting of what a person has and does says none of that comes from the Father, but from the world. None of those three comes from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. It's why God, through Jesus Christ, one day the trumpet will blow. One day the Father is going to look at the Son and say, it's time. Blow the trumpet and go back for my bride. Go back for my people. And the rapture, or the catching up, if you don't like that word, the catching up will take place. And immediately, those who have been walking by faith and not by sight, their faith will be their sight. Give them praise. The person who does the will of God lives forever. What is the will of God? Walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith in Him is the will of God. That's His will. He's got a plan for our life. We know that. But we tend to try to keep messing with it. Again, you put yourself in a car with God. I love those bumper stickers that say, God's my co-pilot. But if that's the way it still is, that's really not the way it should be. Let me explain. God's supposed to be piloting our lives. So I've threatened before, someday I might get bumper stickers made up and hand them out here at the church. And we'll put them on our cars, and those bumper stickers will say, God is my pilot. I'm over on the passenger side, and I'm trying my best not to get over there and mess with the steering wheel. Because that's what the faith walk is. Hey, I just slipped up. Are we walking in a faith walk or a faith walk? Is it a faith walk or a faith walk? Now that happened by accident, I guess. Although I don't really believe in accidents. Maybe God allowed me to mess up there so that that would trick something in me. I have never made that statement before. Faith walk or faith walk? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must not be conformed to the world. The world is doing everything in its power to try to force us as believers to conform to the world. Do you realize this? You can see it every day. Every day, turn on the news, look around, put your head on a pivot, watch people, listen to people. The world is working hard every day to try to get us to conform. And as I said before, unfortunately, there are many denominations and many churches and many preachers, many pastors that are conforming to the world. And it's becoming more and more clear to me why Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal, and few find it. Few find it. Not the majority. Few find it. I'm telling you what God's Word says. This isn't thus says Pastor Wayne. This is what God's Word says. It's the reality of it. Many, many people are going to hell, an eternity in hell. It's all about choice. God has given us all a free will, and it's all about choice. What will we do with our free will? Will we fake it to make it? Or will we walk by faith? Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. This word says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's made abundantly clear right there. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church in Rome, says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And that instruction echoes throughout time and speaks to us right here today. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So then what should we do? Goes on to say. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Guys, that's powerful. That is powerful. We can't get it any more clear than that. That is not a confusing passage. It is out there. It's blatant. It's clear. It's crystal clear. We're called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if you're like me, then your mind goes, okay, how do I get my mind renewed? And then it takes me to scripture that says, have your mind renewed through the washing with the Word of God. So being under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God renews our mind. Having our own personal devotional time, hiding the Word in our hearts to show ourselves approved, as it also says in the Word of God. When we keep hiding the Word of God in our hearts, then also our minds get washed with the Word and we get renewed. We've got a major problem in the body of Christ in this nation. We have way too many professing Christians in this nation that are biblically illiterate. We're called to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? So that we get our minds renewed through the washing of the Word. So that we are transformed. So that the things that we struggle with, the things that we know are displeasing to God, so that we can overcome them because we've had our minds washed with the Word. And not only when our mind is washed with the Word, when we've hidden the Word in our hearts, then when the enemy comes and with a twisted version of the Word, and he does that, and he'll speak things to you and try to deceive you like he has been for a long, long time, like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. And we have the Word of God hidden in our heart. You see, he was even evil enough to catch Jesus on the tail end of a 40-day fast. And he used scripture against Jesus. He wasn't getting it. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the living Word. And he's trying to twist him up. You want to try to understand how the devil is full of pride. He thought he could twist up Jesus, twisting the Word. But it's been very effective against men and women. It didn't work with Jesus. Because Jesus was the Word. And he spoke the Word back. And he ended up leaving him alone until a more opportune time. That's what he does with us. It's never one and done with the enemy. This faith walk is a walk. It's day after day after day until our life leaves our body and we leave our body. This war is not one and done. It's every day of our lives. When the enemy comes and quotes scripture to us, that's askew, and it's always askew when he quotes scripture, and he knows scripture really good. I'm sorry to tell you, Satan knows scripture pretty well. So he knows how to twist it. We need to study, be under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and spend our own time in study so that we know how to refute the attacks of the enemy in that way. Because our minds have been renewed through the washing of the Word. And because of that, we can overcome the things that have held us down for a long, long time. See, God created us to be overcomers. You, every one of you, every man, woman, and child, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and are in a walk with Him, you are an overcomer. It's time we start living like overcomers. Because that's who God calls us. I have had certain things that are very common questions that people have asked me over the years, especially since I've been pastoring, and that's been 24 years now, pastoring full time. But people were asking me those kinds of things before, because I was a student of the Word before I was ever a pastor. So people would ask me a lot of hard questions. Well, one of the questions that is very commonly asked of me, and I'm sure of other pastors, is how do I know the will of God? And I'm not making fun of that. That's a good question. But God has given us a map in the Word of God of how we can know the will of God. And a big part of that is having our mind renewed through the washing with the Word. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He can speak to us many, many different ways. He can speak to us in our dreams. He can speak to us in visions. He speaks many different ways. He's God and we're not. But His grace is sufficient. And He knows how to speak to each and every one of us. I know how He speaks to me, but that might be completely different than He speaks to you. But I guarantee you, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, He's speaking to you, whether you know it or not. You just need to learn how to get in that faith walk and learn to recognize when He's speaking. Learn to recognize it. We definitely got to learn to not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There is no excuse for people that profess to be born-again believers that gravitate and conform to the things of this world. There is absolutely no excuse for it. None. Especially if you're in this church, because you're here in the morning. You're getting a regular diet of it. I'm telling you. You know why I do that? Because I love you enough to be unpopular with you to keep you from going to hell. And that's the truth. And I love God enough to not disappoint Him in the opportunity or the platform that He has given me. I love my God. He saved me when nobody else could or would. So then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. Man, hide that in your heart, because that is what God has for us. He has a good will for us. He has a will for us that will be pleasing. And he has a will that is perfect for us. You've been around here for a long time. I've said it many times. I had no idea that God was ever going to call me to be a pastor. That was the farthest thing from my mind growing up. And then I met Jesus when I was 25 years old. Oh, I still didn't know then that God was going to call me to be a pastor. I thought maybe traveling a lot in the role of evangelist. And I've done some of that. But I never would have ever guessed he was going to call me to be a pastor. I'm telling you that because I want you to understand. You have no idea the things God has planned for you that will bring fulfillment in your life, that will bring joy and peace in your life. Now that I've said that, I need you to understand something. Pastoring is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But it's also the most rewarding to see people that come to Christ pass from death to life. And then the opportunity as a pastor in shepherding the flock, discipling people. See, because we're not called to just get people saved. We're called to raise up disciples of Christ. That is why the church exists, is to raise up disciples of Christ. Not disciples of Wayne, not disciples of Jim, not disciples of Bob, not disciples of this pastor or that pastor, but disciples of Christ, building God's kingdom and not our own kingdom. That's what this faith walk is all about that we've been talking about for 5 weeks, and it's looking like we're going to have a number six. First Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32. I'm going to try to wrap this up for today. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. While you're turning there, if we are conformed to the world, then we will be condemned with the world. Chew on that for a minute. If we are conformed to the world, we will then be condemned with the world. That's a hard reality, but it's a reality nonetheless. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32 says, "But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." How many times have you heard me say there's a major difference between God's judgment and God's wrath? Here it is. I've told you this. Here it is in Scripture. God sends judgment as discipline. In other words, to train us in righteousness so that we will turn from the things that has brought judgment on us. He does that individually, and he also sends that judgment on nations. Now understand, when judgment comes on a nation, the righteous are in that as well, because he sends rain on the whole earth. You understand what I'm saying? So when judgment comes, it's hard for not only those who are unrighteous, but it's hard on the righteous in that nation as well, because we all go through it. The difference is, for the believers, Jesus takes us on his shoulders and carries us through that judgment. but I don't want to be condemned with the world. That's why I don't want to be hooked into the world system. And that's why I'm standing here preaching, because I don't want to see any of you. There are so many young people in our nation that are being indoctrinated in our public school systems. And when they turn on their computer and they're being indoctrinated by the television, they're being indoctrinated by the movies they go see. They're being indoctrinated at every single turn. Young people, listen to me. This is the reality. Second Corinthians 6 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." Come out from among them. We're not supposed to be intermingled with the things of the world. And again, that's talking about the sin in the world system. There are people that are way off balance and say, well, this scripture, you know, they'll take that and they'll say, well, I'm not supposed to be involved in politics because that's part of the world system. Wrong. You're not supposed to be involved in the sin in the world system. Am I making sense to you? If Christians are no longer involved in the system of government, we have no hope. Do you hear me? Believers are supposed to be at the forefront. Hasn't been that many years ago that all of our colleges were Christian colleges. And they were stolen away. How many of you didn't know that? And now, they are places of indoctrination. People are sending their children off to college, and the kids are raised in the church, and they seem to love God, and we're in good shape. And after 4 years at college, they don't even get a child back that they recognize. Because they've been indoctrinated for 4 years at college, and now they don't need God because they're gods unto themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't have room for God because they're in the world system. And the world system tells them they've got it all together. I feel like preaching all day, but I can't. I tell you, man, the anointing, more than the previous messages in this series, I just sense an anointing on what we're covering right now, guys. It's so very, very important. Last scripture, Matthew 6, 33. We'll quit there for today. Matthew 6, 33. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Looking at this verse in the context, it's talking about not worrying. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you're going to drive. Don't worry about... Oh, maybe I added the driving. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't worry about all these things in life, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things that we worry about will be added unto you as well. Because see, when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then we are living out the faith that we profess. Strengthen your faith, guys. Strengthen your faith. It's what this whole series is about. Okay, we're going to quit there for today. There will be a part six. Because I'm not done yet. Let's all stand together, if you will. pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is so clear and concise. Father, we praise you and glorify you. Lord, we also repent. We ask your forgiveness for the things that we have allowed to linger that are part of the world, the things that we've gravitated to that are part of this world, and you're calling us to let go of it. Lord, empower us right now to let go of those things as we ask your forgiveness and desire to turn from it. Lord, bring us back Wednesday night or next weekend to sit under your word, Lord God, and Lord, have our minds washed. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.